What's up, everybody? Chris here. I'm an owner and operator, along with my wife, LA, of the LA Edge Web Radio Network. LA can't be here right now for this, but sends her sincerest apologies and wishes you nothing but the best in 2017. I would like to welcome you to this listening experience if you are a new LA Edge Web Radio listener. And if you're a returning listener, I want to give you a very, very special thank you. You guys are the backbone to LA Edge Web Radio. You're the fuel that runs the fire. So we have been working really, really hard behind the scenes trying to make this the best experience possible. Because in time and with your support, what we are hoping is to make LA Edge Web Radio the go-to place for your best podcasting experience. It's a new year, so why not give you the latest lineup of our weekly programming? On Mondays, tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, for the debut of a new paranormal experience. Join host Kevin Malone as he explores and uncovers the realm of the paranormal on his podcast, Transcending the Unknown. This guy knows his stuff, folks, so be sure to tune into this one. Now, on Tuesdays, it's going to get a bit interesting because I'm going to try to silence the critics, or at least wake them up, as I debut my solo open topic podcast, That Podcast with That Guy. So I need your help. I need topics. I need you guys to email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and give me any questions, concerns, bitches, complaints, whatever. I am going to take your topics and make that into the theme of the podcast. So your topic will be the theme of a podcast. It's almost like it's your own little podcast with me answering your questions or concerns or whatever. So email me at laedgewebradio@gmail.com and help me get this thing rolling. Wednesdays host the return of our trial-run political show, The Chalk Line of a Nation, but we've changed it up a bit. Mike and Kevin and myself all talked, and we said, you know what? Let's not make this the same old cookie-cutter political talk podcast. We know how those things are, right? So we decided we're going to mix it up a bit. And we're going to add a bit of a more of a humorous twist. We're going to make it fun. We're going to make you laugh instead of being mad or disgruntled or negative. We're going to try to make you laugh about the political scene in the United States. Because, after all, it's ridiculous. Thursdays are for our fellow gamers. Tune into the New Generations of Gaming podcast every Thursday afternoon as my son and myself discuss the topics of video gaming. We will share new beta experiences, rate the games, and share all the latest news. So join Brady and I for this fun and informational podcast. Monday through Thursdays, we have every show going on. Also, keep in mind that our flagship show that started it all for us, She Said, He Said, and our very popular show, Sounds of the Streets, they're still both very, very active in our library of programming, but we're just awaiting their returns. But they will be back, so don't worry. Again, thank you for supporting us by tuning into our network. We really, really do appreciate you guys. This is why we do this. We just want to entertain and give you guys something positive instead of the same old negativity and drama that fills our days. We want to be happy, folks. We need to be happy. So why not tune into a podcast that's going to make you laugh a little bit? It's healthy. Don't forget to keep up with the latest info by visiting our social media outlets on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also download the free Stitcher app and take us with you on your travels. And don't forget, you can catch up on all the archived episodes by visiting our website at laedgewebradio.com. LA Edge Web Radio, it's where it's at. The following program may not be suitable for some listeners. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transcending the Unknown with your host, Kevin Malone.
Well, hey there, dirty bastards. It's welcome to the show.
No, I'm joking. It's Chris. It's not Kevin. Kevin's not here, so I don't know what's going to happen. So I had an idea, Terry, because we have Terry Koenig joining us here from Paranormal A Radio Network. And he was going to talk paranormal. We do have a really odd delay, so we apologize for that. We were discussing it before the show was coming on the air, and there's about a 3 to 4 second delay between us. So I will, should we do like over?
or should we do like stop at the end of everything we say? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, or I can call back, or I can call right back in if you want me to, see if that helps.
It doesn't matter if you want to, because I was thinking, until Kevin came, or if he didn't, if you wanted to not, do you want to knock out an do you have time to knock out an episode of Hair Pulls right now? Because I figured,
yeah,
hell, I'm here, man. I was here for this, so
I got
might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Cool,
yeah, I got
my
hour,
other,
so let me just call
yeah,
right
my
back
other
in
show
real quick
starts
and...
at 1, so yeah, I'll just be here, man. I'll just talk to everybody.
All right, I'll be right back.
All right. So, yeah, so cool. So I will make this into an episode of Headlocks and Hair Pulls, and we will be joining. This is what's great about live spots. Even in podcasting, if you have a live spot, you've got to go with the fly, right? Show must go on. Isn't that what the great Freddie Mercury and Queen sang with that anthem? There's Terry calling right back in. All right, there he is. So, yeah, so
all right.
Let's see.
Still a delay?
No, I think we're good.
All right.
So, yes, yeah, so I figured. I was all like, right. You know, I was like, well, you know, I can't. With having 4 shows a week, some of them are live, some of them are like this, with pre-recorded, and just do myself on my software. So it's like, I can't do like a full-time wrestling show right now, like every week, because of the fact that I'm always doing something on my software, whether it's trying to come up with themes or whatever. But I said,
well, I hear you.
But anytime we get the opportunity to take the advantage of Talk to Wrestling, hey, we had it handed to us right now, so might as well.
And that'll really bug Stu that his show got turned into a wrestling show too.
Well, you know, I found it interesting though. His mother is a huge wrestling fan.
Yep, Randy Orton's yes. favorite. Yeah.
yeah. He was talking about it on the. I believe it was a political show last week and on Chalkline. And he, dude, I was like, as much as you knock it, man, I'm surprised you're not at least, you know, a little bit of a fan, you know, having it around you all the time, you'd kind of have to know at least somewhat of what's going on.
He's probably,
and I'm surprised. Oh, I'm sure he's a Cena fan.
He's probably got the wristbands. He's like, do. He's just walking around like, do.
You know what, though? I don't know. I could totally see him being a New Day fan.
Oh, God.
I could see Kevin's, you know, New Day rocks. New. Or just busting your balls.
Sitting there with a box of videos.
You're tardy, young man.
Oh God! I want to Photoshop Budios in a picture of Stu sometime today and post it on his Facebook.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. But no, talking wrestling, man. Like, I finally got to see the SmackDown pay per view of Elimination Chamber.
Hmm.
No, not bad.
I give it a solid. Like, I like the SmackDown pay-per-views because normally everything is done for a reason, as stupid
right.
as it may seem at the time. Like, even when Nikki was fighting Natalya in the back and they knocked the makeup all over Maryse, there's the thing for the mixed tag we talked about last time. They already set it in motion. And, like, Baron Corbin beat the hell out of Dean Ambrose. There's your feud right there for WrestleMania. So they set everything up nicely.
You know what, and I've found that twist is going to be interesting because they could turn the Corbin Ambrose match at Mania into a historical type of match, man. Like, if they would go, I was thinking, what if they put them in like an asylum match? To where
that, or just like Falls Count Anywhere would fit them perfectly, I think.
Falls Count Anywhere would be good. That would be awesome. Because those two would definitely take it to the crowd. Okay. So I think that would be good. But if they just have them just face off in a singles one-fall match, I'm gonna be like, oh my god. You know?
I think they owe Ambrose after last year when he was all pumped about his Lesnar match, and then he set it up Stone Cold podcast that he tried to talk to Lesnar and doing all this cool stuff, and he just didn't care. He's like, no. He just went work with him. It was just, okay, suplex, pin, chair shot, pin. So, yeah, that was a pretty bad match last year. They owe him.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy? The one thing about Elimination Chamber that I was like, wow. When Dolph Ziggler took out, what was it?
Apollo.
Was it yeah, and the crowd started saying, thank you, Ziggler.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought they liked Apollo Crews. Like, what's that all about?
I think he's getting the whole Rocky Maivia, New Day stigma. I think they need to turn him bad.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
He's got to have some kind of bad attitude on him, though, because he's dating that Peyton Royce chick from NXT, who's the most annoying person on TV ever. So, to put up with her, he's got to be a little bit of a dink. I would hope.
But you know what's funny? You know the irony of the whole situation, though? Is it's the fans love New Day, and New Day spreads the power of positivity. So Apollo Crews is positive, but they hate him because he's positive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man.
Still gets over.
Like, yeah, but you know, it's like, but you can have more than one, hey, over the top happiness kind of guy. You know, I mean, it's, there's nothing wrong with more positivity. I mean, damn, the world needs it anyway. But I just found it really interesting, though, that Heel Ziggler was back, and I'm like, you know, I, you know me, man. I've talked about it way back when we did hair pulls or headlocks and hair pulls, man, that I was a huge Ziggler supporter because I think his in-ring talent is phenomenal, and that goes both offensive and defensive because he can sell some of the best shots, man, and make them look like he really gets taken out by it. I mean, he does oversell sometimes. He does, I admit that. But I'm a fan of his work in the ring, though. And I always liked him as a heel, though. I did not like this whole babyface rock star image, man. I was like, man, bring back that heel that was with AJ at one point, you know? I mean, that was just that bad dude, you know? Bring him back. That's what we need. We want a really bad guy. Because, dude, there's still faces. If you really look at a lot of the people in the WWE, Baron Corbin still gets pops. You know, so it's like,
which is weird.
Yeah.
He went from being loved in NXT to hated within like a month. And then all of a sudden, he's still hated, but now they like, I think it's just the way they're booking him. That's why I say I love SmackDown the most, because it's booked by the original booker of NXT that worked with Dusty Rhodes and Triple H at the beginning. He's booking it. They're leaving him alone, let him do his own thing, and it's just turning out so well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, so, I love the whole AJ angle, and I really hope he resigns. I mean, I don't know. You know anything more about that?
Who's resigning?
No,
my
AJ.
I lost it.
Is AJ Styles, is he going to be resigning? Because he's up in May, right? Isn't that what you said?
No, he's in May. They're probably going to turn him good, but I think he's under contract for like 5 years, so we're good.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, man, because I'm digging AJ Styles, man. That dude, man, he takes some shots, and he's another one. I've always loved his in-ring style.
He makes Cena look good.
He really does. He actually makes Cena, who twice in, oh my God, Stop the freaking world from spinning, Terry. He did a flip powerbomb twice. And I'm like, oh my God, he has a new move in his arsenal. Yes, then we're shoulder tackles and 10 knuckle shuffles, which was ridiculous. It looked so stupid when he did it at the Elimination Chamber.
I think he knows that now, just doesn't.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh my God. I was like, oh, this looks so dumb. Oh, God.
I gotta watch what I say because it's your network, but you gotta laugh. The fact that they let him do they won't let him call thing the FU anymore, the attitude adjustment, because PG, but he can still say five knuckle shuffle, which means, well, we know what it means, but
right.
So I don't see how that's PG and the other one's not, but okay, whatever.
And the STFU, his STF hold. You know?
Yeah.
They changed that to what they changed that to, than just a crossface. It's like, come on, man. But
yeah,
I tell you what,
I
wanted to talk a little Raw with you last night, man. I'm digging the push for Strowman.
Oh yeah.
Strowman's awesome. I'm glad they didn't kill it after like Rumble. I'm glad that they're still building him to be just this monster. And I hope they continue to build him, man, even through Mania. They need to find an angle for this guy.
They're going to feed him to Reigns, though, at Fastlane, unless Taker interferes, which still makes him look okay. So I smell triple threat coming at WrestleMania for those three. Just my theory.
Yeah, man. I don't know how I feel about that.
Taker's in bad shape. They gotta mask his limitations a little bit. Like, he can barely move at the Rumble, so I can't see him doing a full 30-minute match against Reigns, who can go pretty good. He needs that hip fixed pretty bad.
Well, that
he's supposed to be his last one, so
he needs a whole new makeover with character, man. I'm not saying anything crazy or extreme. I'm not saying Chad Gable, but Roman. I mean, I still think you keep him like, you know, that enforcer kind of guy, but you let him go heel, man. I mean, the people are just they don't even honestly. I don't even think the fans care anymore because they've killed that character so bad, and they've made him into like more of a superhero than anything, and I don't like the whole superhero gimmick with the Superman punch. I just don't like it. I don't like that, man.
The Superman punch was funny at, like, during the Shield days because they were goofballs, but
right
now he tries to make it so legit, and he's just like with his hand, and he's like, come on, buddy, it looks stupid.
Yeah,
but I don't know what they're gonna do with Cena, because he was on an interview on Canadian TV a couple weeks ago, and they were asking him, like, are you ever going to turn heel, blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, I was originally supposed to turn heel against The Rock at Rock Cena 1. He's like, we had new ring gear made up. He made a new song, entrance music, and was all ready to go, and last minute Vince wimped out and said they're keeping him as a good guy. So he's got new music and new gear sitting there doing nothing, so maybe they'll pull the trigger soon. Before the brand split, I was just kind of hoping that him and Roman would turn heel and be like, we bust our butts for you guys and you boo us constantly, and then just do like a new NWO type faction, maybe pull in Baron Corbin as a young guy.
Well, here's the thing that I always think about too, is they're probably sitting here laughing at us saying, the fans, not us per se, the show, I'm talking fans in general, but yeah, you guys hate Cena and you want him to turn heel, but you keep buying all his merchandise as his Fruity Loop guy, you know? It's like, so how, keep on spending that money. And that's the thing, is it's once the merchandise sales go down, then that's when they start finding new gimmicks for guys that they really want to keep around. And
well, they really wanted Reigns to go away. Booing him is just making McMahon laugh. Just sit there dead silent. If everybody in the arena was like dead silent and turned their backs to the match, I think they'll get the point across.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because my wife, she will watch from time to time whenever I'm skipping through it. Like, because I always do weekend catch ups after like 2 or 3 weeks of build up of DVR. And she was like, why are they booing Roman Reigns? And I said, because he's becoming a Cena. And she's like, what do you mean? And you know what I mean by it, but, you know, and I went through the explanation. I'm sure a lot of people out there listening know what I mean, but that's exactly what he's becoming, dude. He's becoming another Cena. He's getting stuck in this gimmick that, if you really think about it and you look at his character, what more can you really do with the guy than make him a badass, like, enforcer guy? He just has the image of
that. They need to put him with Heyman. They need to put him with Heyman.
Oh, yeah. Make Heyman have him become his client. Because Brock's probably not going to be around much longer.
And that's what I hate about what they're going to do at Fastlane. Let's put the Universal title on Brock, or if he's going to leave till SummerSlam. Like, we're going to have no champ for 4 months?
All right.
Okay. But Raw last night, too, it came off. It's still a crappy Raw, but at least it was a little entertaining. Like, you had the Club versus Roman at the beginning, and they didn't make the Club look bad. And then all of a sudden, no, Strowman didn't come out till later, I think. But, and then they put Strowman against Mark Henry and just had him destroy Mark Henry. So that was pretty good.
Wow.
It's the fact he can pick up Mark. He picked up Henry and did that bulldog slam. With like, it was ridiculous. He just scooped him up like, boom, boom. I was like, geez, that's a lot of weight.
Well, that's where isn't that where Strowman originally came from? Wasn't he like a strongman competitor?
I think that, and he was one of the rosebuds for Adam Rose, but we won't go into that.
Oh, no.
If you look back at the old, like an old episode or two, you'll see him dressed as Wonder Woman in the Rosebud. It was pretty bad.
Wow, dude. I am so making a Wonder Woman sign for the next live event I go to. I am so making it.
I'll send you the other picture online. I'll send it to you later. But
that is awesome.
So then Reigns comes down. He's just like, and I like what they're doing with Braun. They don't make him run away like a little chicken, like all the heels are these days. He's just like, come get me. Reigns runs in there, does a couple Superman punches. He wobbles a little bit, and he goes for the spear, and Braun one hand just lifts him up for the bulldog slam and just plants him and just walks away like that was easy. So it made him look strong. And then the thing that made everybody sad, KO finally turned on Jericho.
Did he? It happened?
They did the whole this is your life thing. Sorry about that loud noise. My cat is attacking a water bottle on the floor. did a this is your life thing, and then he pulled up the list of KO, and Jericho's on there. He's like, why am I on there? And then he beat the hell out of him. But before all that happened, Triple H pulled him to a corner and was talking to him and Joe like they're making a new faction. So that's why I'm confused, though. Why would Triple H make a faction with KO and Samoa Joe if KO's going to just lose the belt to Goldberg anyway? Doesn't that make your faction look kind of weak their first run?
Well, I'm wondering, do you think, I hope this isn't what they're doing. Do you think with the whole, why lately, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but lately I've been reading articles. I heard Bailey mention it at the pay-per-view or on Raw. Was it Raw? Yeah. I forget what it was because it was like 6 o'clock this morning when I was trying to watch this stuff, man. But but the four horsewomen, I'm seeing that term and hearing it a lot in reference to Charlotte, Bailey, Sasha, and Becky.
Yeah.
Please, Terry, tell me. They're not trying to recreate the horsemen, are they?
No, in NXT, they were just called that because they're the four hardest working, like, friends or whatever who got over. But they're not going to move Becky from SmackDown because. Well,
No.
They could.
No. I'm talking about Triple H.
The horsemen.
Please don't tell me he's going to start. Horseman, because then would that mean Flair is going to be the tag along guy?
I think it's going to be some kind of NXT, no pun intended, takeover type thing. Because when the guys all signed, it was Joe, KO, Balor, and Hideo Itami, who just gets hurt every other week. And they all stood with Triple H, and they did the click too sweet thing. And now he's building up his little group. So it'll probably be some kind of new click or evolution or something. Like Joe
beat cool
the living
be
hell out of Sami Zayn last night.
How cool would it be if he put one together on SmackDown? Or if they, like, invaded SmackDown? And they pulled
there
in, like, AJ? Like...
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool if AJ
well,
was
Triple
involved
H
in
pulls,
that.
If Triple H pulls a faction, though, and they do the next draft or whatever and bring AJ, put him with the club again, well, they could bring the Shield back to fight Triple H's crew. Like, they could be building to something.
It's interesting. It's definitely
but
interesting
then
to
the
see
best
what
part
direction
of the
it's going. Because it's
funny. But then
the
best part of the night last night.
Sorry, go ahead, Nick. No, I'll bring up the point you were talking about right before the show with that, because right before we came on the air, Terry said, you know how you mentioned that they were taking our ideas and we both thought they were taking, he's like, well now there seems to be starting a stable, and we mentioned that last week. Hey man, if they are good, we're getting to see what we want to see, you know? We put many, many years of our lives into this realm of sports entertainment, so we have a little views, I think.
I don't even want money. I don't even want money for our ideas. They can just send us free tickets to stuff around our area. Send me free tickets to Buffalo and Toronto and WrestleMania. I'm happy.
No, I would.
Take
I don't even
ideas.
Want tickets on my part. I would be happy to give you guys my ideas just to give us have a guest come on each time we're on the air.
There you go. That works.
A WWE
but, the best
superstar.
Part of Raw last night.
And we're not talking. We're not talking Tyler Breeze.
Hey, he's a Canadian. He's up there.
I know, but come on, man. Dude, I was
he's
watching
a hard
him.
Worker, man. He's getting screwed right now.
He's getting a bum shaft. That's what I'm saying, man. Are they turning him into the new Brooklyn Brawler? Is he just basically going to be like the top dog jobber? Because I know the dude has potential to be great. But
yeah.
I don't know why they keep pushing him in these gimmicks, man. I don't know who he's pissing off backstage, but it looks like he's pissing more people
from
off
what,
than Sami Zayn right now.
From what I read, his first month on the main roster, he decided to leave early from one of the TV tapings. I guess he rubbed McMahon the wrong way.
Right.
And then all of a sudden him and Summer Rae broke up and he just went in the toilet, so that's probably why.
I just, man, oh my God, dude, I don't know how much more of this fashion police with ew written on the tickets, I don't know how much more I could take, man.
I just
man.
Look at it as a stupid-ass gimmick, makes me laugh, but, so anyway, the best part of Raw last night, Bayley won the title.
Very nice.
Yes, but they're trying to turn Sasha heel, which doesn't make sense. Like, it makes sense to me, but they're trying to turn her heel, and she's gimping around on the cane backstage, or crutches backstage, and then Charlotte walks up to her and talks trash and says she can't walk the walk anymore. So then, out of nowhere, haven't seen her on TV for months, Dana Brooke interferes and tries to cost Bayley the belt. And then, out of nowhere, she gets knocked unconscious by a cane or a crutch. I don't know why I keep saying cane. I was watching House. That's probably why. But she hits her with a crutch. And then she has her in the figure eight, and she's all bent backwards doing that thing. And Sasha takes the crutch and, like, smokes her in the throat with it, and then Bayley hits the belly-to-belly. So,
well, that's what I told you, man.
It back fast lane.
No, that's what I said. They're building up to. I'm telling you, man. It's supposed to be Charlotte, Nia Jax, Bayley, and Sasha at Mania. That's supposed to be two
just
matches
Nia
that they're going to have.
Out of it.
Yeah, but that's what they're. That's
Nia
what
Jax
I've been reading. I'm reading it by more than one source, so I'm like, oh hell, here we go.
Well, my buddy went to a live event and he did send me a video, which is pretty sweet. Nia Jax's new move, apparently, she hangs Sasha Banks by her leg while she's standing up across her neck. And does like a Lex Luger backbreaker, but only on the knee while she's hanging. from one leg.
Oh,
looks kind
of
cool, but she takes her leg, wraps it like Sasha's hanging upside down. Her head's like touching the mat. Takes her leg, puts it around her neck, and then does the backbreaker deal, just on the leg. Looks very painful. I had a bump.
Wow.
That made me cringe. Yeah, but she still sucks. So I'm sorry. She's the Rock's blood, but she still sucks. She's horrible. But
is she?
They could have just made her. Yeah, she's the Rock's like legit cousin, first cousin.
Wow. I was wondering how like she got pushed to mainstream so fast. Because to me,
yeah.
Nia Jax is somebody that should have been pushed in NXT.
Well, she was at first, and then all of a sudden they had Bayley beat her, and then they had Asuka beat her, and it's like, well, she's not really a monster anymore. You just had your two top people beat her.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, if they want to make her into what she is now, they should have just made her into this, almost like they did with Joe. You know? They had Joe there for so long where I was like, man, this guy's never going to get to the top. I said, they're going to keep this guy in NXT.
No.
And finally, you know, they gave him the push. That's what they should have done with Nia Jax, because the people don't react to her at all. And then when she picks up the mic, I'm like, I definitely wouldn't have guessed that her and The Rock were related, because that dude's got mic skills. It's not so much
again,
on this
another end. Person who should be a another person who should be a Heyman person. Let him do the talking, change her intro music, and just let her kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Who's to say it might not happen? You know,
yeah.
I mean, but I don't see it, but it would be a great if he had. Oh, and that'd be perfect with Reigns and her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And
you know,
he'd
have like
the Usos as bad Samoans.
Yeah. There you go. And then you have the faction. You have a faction about Triple H's faction.
Yeah. And then they're trying to push the Usos. Like, oh, that pay per view, going back to that. Did they ever make the Ascension look even stupider at that pay per view? Like, their new gimmick is cool. The big long towel. It looks like the ring chick. And then he has their other guy has a big mask with big teeth. They look cool. They came out. The Usos beat the hell out of the tag champs. And they're, like, completely dead. They should have just been able to walk in and pin them. But the Ascension still got beat. It made no sense. Like, just fire the guys already.
Well, no. You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because I saw a sign. I believe it was on... It may have actually been at the pay-per-view, but it was before the Ascension was there in their match. It was like in the early parts of the pay-per-view during, like, I believe, like, I don't know what some of the early matches were. I can't remember, but there was one that says, like, oh man, what did it say? It said like revive the Ascension, or, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah.
And I think the fans want to see it.
But, well, yeah, because they were awesome in NXT. They held the belts for like 400 days. Like, they were awesome.
That's why I don't understand. Like, why did they have to try to like make them into the Road Warriors when they brought them from NXT to the main roster? Like, I never understood that. I was like, they are killing these guys right now by doing this.
Yeah. And then he had on the anniversary show the Scott Hall and Nash like beating him down. Then the next, remember they did like the Thousands episode, and then they did the anniversary episode. One episode NWO beats him up. The second episode JBL, a retired announcer, beats them up. It's like, really?
Yeah.
They go back to NXT every so often to do matches and stuff, and the fans are like, thank God, welcome back. And then, you know, they kick the crap out of whoever they're facing, and they got to go back to the main roster again. So.
Yeah,
oh,
because
you don't have any other.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you were right about that tag team. You said that was on NXT last week. You said they were from Ring of Honor or whatever. It is those guys. The
nice.
Big trap. Yeah, those guys. They did pretty good, but they lost to the Revival, but they were pretty good.
Which tag team?
Oh, there's some. They're called like the Monster Trucks or some crap like that. You said they were in a. You thought they were in a Ring of Honor.
War
Machine? Big muscular dudes. War Machine, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did pretty good against the Revival, so.
Hmm.
I dug it. Yeah.
Very cool.
It was
cool.
Like they're, you're going to lose your first match because you're new kind of thing, but they held their own. They didn't get squashed, so that was pretty good. See, we need more factions. Now my brain's thinking. That'd be a good faction to have Reigns, Nia Jax, and the Usos under Heyman. Then you could put, like, get some creepy, dark group going or something with, like, the Ascension. I don't know what they go with now, though. Like, Bray Wyatt, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they're killing the Wyatt family. That's over.
Yeah, which is fine, because I think Luke Harper is going to be huge now.
I hope, because I think he has a lot of talent, man. I mean, I saw him do some moves that I was like, wow, that shouldn't have been able to do that. And that double super kick, man, that was sold very well. Very good spot with the two of those guys.
Yeah, I'm just nervous to have him facing Cena tonight on SmackDown, his first title defense. I think they got the Randy Orton match locked in now, so there'll probably be some interference from The Miz or somebody.
Oh, that's right, it is tonight. And you know what's funny is when I saw that on the commercial for it, I was like, wow, John Cena's going for a title on SmackDown and not a pay-per-view? I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So that showed
me. That's what bothered me about Bayley winning last night, because you know Fastlane, Charlotte will win again. Someone had a sign last night that said, at this rate, she's going to beat her father's record in 3 months. Because lose it Raw, win at the pay-per-view, lose it Raw, win at the pay-per-view.
Jeez. Well, you know,
five-time champ?
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, give or take about five or six. Yeah. So.
You got me thinking on this whole Cena match thing tonight now. Do you think?
Well, I'm good.
Do you think that? No, I don't think so. My mind's going a million miles trying to think of what the best scenario could be, because if Cena loses tonight, then what was the point of the whole "I'm not going anywhere"? Blah 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 blah. Okay, you just lost your title, bro.
But it's an easy fix. At the beginning of the show, Maryse could be bitching about what's her face getting makeup on her yesterday, and then they get Cena's checking on his woman. And well, on Talking Smack, I don't know if you watched that at all, Talking Smack on the network. I always watch it because they build some storylines after it. Cena's never mentioned his relationship really on the main shows, and they showed him footage of Nikki getting her ass beat on Talking Smack. This weird thing where Natalya put her face behind the table where they sit and do the interviews, and they yanked her arm forward so that her whole neck would bend backwards when she hit the glass on the table. It's pretty brutal looking. And then Cena's like, our deal is we take care of our own business and don't mix, but if this keeps up, I may have to take a look at this. So maybe they're going to fight at the beginning of the show, and then Miz will be pissed off and cost Cena the match because he beat him at Elimination Chamber. So there's your mixed tag match right there in two segments.
Oh, man.
But hey, I don't know. The Joe KO Triple H thing has me interested a little bit, because imagine they add Balor to that and then like someone else from NXT. It could be pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, if they might bring Balor back as a heel off the bat, just because he's upset that the injury occurred the way it did and whatnot, and nobody supported him.
It
and you know
sense,
they could sell that whole thing, you know, like nobody was there, they forgot about me, blah 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 blah. You know, it always is.
Well, it's an easy fix, like Rollins. I'm mixing them up here. Seth injured. The demon there, so Balor, so he could join Triple H for that reason. Like, finally achieved my goal, won the title, and he injured me and took me out of action. So that could be a sweet team to put together. I wonder what they're going to do with Hideo, though. He's coming back to NXT this week, apparently. And they still have never finished up that storyline of who jumped him in the parking lot and injured his arm from, like, last summer when he first got hurt. They were about to do something, but then they traded Balor to Raw. It was supposed to be him, apparently, attacking him so he could win the belt in Japan. But I don't think they're probably just going to scrap that storyline now, apparently. But
yeah, which is going to be another one of those lost storylines that's out there in the black hole of sports entertainment.
Hey, what do you think of some of this new stuff? Since I wasn't really prepared for we were going to do this, but they did their monthly like call to Vince McMahon, the stockholders, and stuff like that. And he says that he's going to pull the cruiserweights from Raw in a couple months and have them compete like NXT, travel, and have their own brand. So it'll be an all cruiserweight brand. And apparently they're going to add Austin Aries is going to go to cruiserweights. Sami Zayn might go to cruiserweights. And what's his name?
Sami Zayn.
Blanking on the... Yeah, apparently he might go over the cruiserweight because McMahon doesn't like him that much.
Oh my God, dude, just fire him. Do you know how ridiculous he would look next to the cruiserweights? Because he's a tall dude, man.
Yeah, well, they want to put Shinsuke in the frickin' cruiserweights, and Triple H is apparently blocking that, saying not no. We need Shinsuke versus AJ, and that's it. It needs to happen.
Oh, man, that would be nice. That'd be a nice match.
I'm still wondering what they're going to do with AJ, because apparently the match he's going to have right now is going to be him versus Shane for sure.
And but see, you know what I was hoping it would
Joe,
be?
Him
I was
Joe.
Hoping, no, I was hoping AJ would come out. You know how he's always playing the victim. Have him come out and say, oh, they forgot me. You know, once again, AJ Styles getting pushed to the back, you know, and then blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm putting out an open challenge, have him go into that rant, and then have Balor come out.
That would be
and
good,
too. And have AJ Styles,
he's got a lot of...
Finn Balor at WrestleMania and Finn Balor's return. I think the two of them would bring the freaking roof down. I think it would just, that place would erupt.
Yeah, and they have so many we still haven't seen AJ versus Orton yet. That'll be a huge match when that happens eventually. There's a lot of good matches still to come in SmackDown, shockingly. I thought they'd burn through them too fast, but it's doing pretty good. But do you think 205 Live will last?
I don't. When you said that they were going to make the Cruiserweights have their own brand, dude, you lost me. They're going to, once again, the Cruiserweights are going to get left behind, and it sucks because Ring of Honor, man, Ring of Honor focuses on a lot of cruiserweights, New Japan as well, and I'm telling you, man, they put on some of the best matches that you'll see anywhere, and they're just going to just screw these guys again with doing this whole brand of their own thing. Mix them in with Raw, mix them in with SmackDown. You know, who gives a crap? They could easily have a cruiserweight title on Raw and a cruiserweight title on SmackDown and save money on doing the whole 205 Live thing with having to have your own brand. Because I like the cruiserweights. I think I dig their match. It's a nice change of pace from the same people in the cookie cutter brands of Raw and SmackDown.
I do love the guy with the umbrella. It's freaking hilarious, but Neville's going to kill him at Fastlane, so.
Yeah, but he's really talented, man. He really is.
Oh yeah.
I love Neville's new gimmick though, man. I love heel Neville. I think it's been
he got new
much
music.
Needed.
He got new music and Tron stuff yesterday, so instead of like the purple superhero crap that he used to come out to, now it's just like this it's similar to Triple H's intro, like the gong at the beginning. And it's got all this, like, King Neville stuff comes up in black and gray, and he walks out, like, all evil looking hobbit guy with his pointy ears. He looks pretty
yeah.
badass now.
Yeah, he does have some
I'm
ears.
I'm sorry, he looks like a hobbit. It's not my fault. I would never send you to space because he'd kill me.
Right. I just think of a taxi cab with the doors open, man. Oh. But, yeah,
so
what
do you think of the new chamber? What do you think of the new chamber? I thought they wimped out a little bit covering up those hard floors.
Sorry, my house phone was ringing. It didn't want to ring in your guys' ears. I tried to catch it. But to me, I felt it was more family friendly. The steel was covered up with mats this time, and I do.
That makes sense in a way.
Yeah, because there were a lot more. There were a lot more high risks.
Yeah,
a lot more spots on this one. The only thing I was thinking, I'm like, you know, if they really wanted to make it interesting, they need to put like a chain going across the middle where they could like go across, you know, like with
do crazy spots.
Hand over, yeah, and do all kinds of crazy stuff off of that. Because AJ's really good at those X Division type style matches. But I thought it was, I thought the match itself was really good. I would say, I was thinking about it. Okay, when Terry and I talk, and when we do the pre-show thing, or the post pay-per-view thing, the thing I liked about Chamber was, you said it was solid. You felt it was solid. I gave it about a 8.5 out of 10. Because you're right about the Nikki Bella and Natalya match. No winner, double count out. What was the purpose?
I literally fell asleep. Like my wife's like, I thought you were watching the pay-per-view. I'm like, what? Oh shit, the match is over. Didn't realize.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but I thought about it and I'm like, okay, can I pick out three good points about this pay-per-view? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. The main event, the chamber itself, that had to be the top highlight. That match was pretty brutal. A lot of big
best
spots.
Best match ever, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. The whole Miz Cowardly Act kind of gimmick was funny, you know, of it. And I thought I just thought all around it was very well put together. The Luke Harper Randy Orton match I thought was second best in my opinion. I thought those two put on a great match. Like you said before when
and
we were
Becky.
Talking Orton really helped sell Harper in that one. Yes, and then the Becky Lynch Mickie James match I thought was a really, really good match. That I tell you, man, that Becky Lynch never ceases to amaze me. That girl has a lot of talent in the ring. And, you know, kudos to both of those women for putting on a great match.
She has a lot of talent, too, if you search Becky Lynch pre-WWE.
Uh-huh.
Just leave it at that. But I'll just leave it at that because you're a family-friendly network and I don't want to say anything.
Oh, okay.
But let's just say very nice. But
okay.
The only thing, the Alexa Bliss match wasn't bad, except what was with her screwing up the corner moves? You notice that like she got slammed for the backflip thing, and she kept turning on her side, and then she kept getting hit in the ribs. Like, what are you doing? You're gonna bust your rib.
That's somebody who is not on the same page with the person they're working with, man. And
yeah,
I mean, for her, I like Alexa Bliss just because I like her person. I like the character. I don't necessarily know about the in-ring because I think I honestly believe she's in a lot of ways very green in the ring. I was surprised when they actually made her a champion because I still think that she I've noticed that she misses a lot of spots in a lot of her matches. And it's going to end up either she's going to get really hurt or she's going to get somebody else really hurt. So I just hope that the WWE's paying a lot of attention to this, man, because, I saw that spot, and she did it twice in that match. And I was like,
God.
Wow. I was like, man, somebody's going to get really hurt here. So
Yeah.
And if it was just that match, and I, you know, kind of look at Naomi usually hits her spots very well. That's one thing that I do respect about Naomi is that she hits her spots pretty well. And so, I mean, she has a few flaws here and there, but who doesn't, you know? I mean, I see people all the time having flaws, but I see Alexa Bliss making a lot of mistakes. And I don't say that to try to criticize her. I say it because of my concern for her health and well-being because, man, she could have really broken some ribs with that shot that she took from that flip off that Hurricanrana or whatever, or not Hurricanrana, what the hell?
Split leg moonsault thingy, yeah.
Yeah, split leg moonsault, right. Yeah, when that knee came down and hit her right in the side, I was like, wow, that had to hurt.
And you know it hit because Naomi was grabbing her knee afterwards. I was like, oh, God, she's limping away. But you know who else is extremely reckless that they need to put on a leash is Charlotte. She's way too freaking reckless.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, she's hurt Banks how many times, like, legitly. And then last night she's against Bailey. I'm surprised she didn't break her freaking neck a couple times. Like, she took her in, Russian leg sweep.
Right.
Well, she had her in the corner. She was on her knees and somehow pulled off a Russian leg sweep. It was pretty cool, but she didn't have her arm fully around Bailey's neck. So the full snap motion, Bailey's head bounced right off the bottom turnbuckle.
Oh, God.
So think how fast her Russian leg sweep goes, and her hand wasn't behind her neck, so it was just like, boom, hits the bottom turnbuckle, snaps her head backwards, and she hits it again. I was like, duh, God, they're going to break somebody's neck. Like, Charlotte is way too dangerous.
Yeah. You know, another one is Seth Rollins. I like him, but man,
pretty
that
dangerous.
Dude.
Yeah.
And not that. I think he's more dangerous to himself than he is to anybody else because that dude is just like, I don't care. I'm going to take risks. And I love that thing or that whole aspect of it because it reminds me of somewhat of like the Hardys. But man, when I look at the Hardys now and man, I see how banged up they are. It's like, I don't want to see that for Seth Rollins because I want to see that dude around for quite some time because he's fun to watch in the ring. He really is. It's just, he is he needs to rein it down a little bit. No pun intended.
I think his career is going to be a short one though. But I don't know. Before we wrap up, though, I gotta say I watched TNA for the first time the other day because since they got repurchased or whatever.
Right.
Highlights. Jeff Jarrett's in charge of booking again, and so is that Mandel guy that used to hang around with. Remember he was with Jack Swagger. What the hell's his name? He met
was
the,
a beard?
On America, the, yeah, him. Him and Jeff Jarrett are booking it now.
Oh, okay, yeah, what was his name? I can't remember. Yeah, the We the People guy. Yeah, I know who you're talking
his,
about.
His real name is Dutch Mandel, but I can't remember his character name at the moment. But the Wolves broke up, which was interesting when they started a feud. One of the Wolves are married to Angelina Love now, apparently. So they brought their wives into it, and there's this huge backstabbing betrayal that gave Lashley the title back, which kind of sucked. But now the American Wolves, or whatever they're called, in ROH, they're fighting each other now. They're officially enemies in TNA. So that probably
nice.
Two fucking good matches.
Well, Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards are really good in the ring, man. So yeah, those two feuding again. They put on some good matches in Ring of Honor, so that'll be good to see again. I think that's going to really kind of bring some more attention to TNA.
Yeah, and Cody Rhodes' wife is feuding with Rosemary, DK's crazy chick, which Cody Rhodes' wife learned how to wrestle pretty good. I'm kind of shocked. But those two, and then the Hardys are doing some really stupid gimmick now where Hardy's stupid drone, if they touch it, will teleport them to another place on Earth right out of the ring, which it did. Good camera work, because it didn't even cut the black or anything. They touched it and they were gone. and all of a sudden they're in Tijuana, Mexico, going, their new gimmick is they're going for every title around the world, and they're going to end with the WWE tag titles, apparently.
Wow.
So I don't know how they're pulling that off, being in TNA, but they won the titles in Mexico, they won the titles in two other places, and I guess now they're fighting for the Ring of Honor tag titles. So they ended up gathering up all the titles. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I saw they're fighting the Young Bucks, man. It's going to be really, I can't wait to see the highlights on Ring of Honor, because that's the one thing I like about Ring of Honor. They'll show highlights from their pay-per-views on the weeks following during their TV tapings. And
oh, nice.
I can't wait to see that match, because I'm telling you, man, if you people have not seen the Young Bucks yet, look up the Young Bucks. It's some great stuff. Some really good stuff.
Or as the Hardys say, the Young's a buck.
Yeah. The Young's a buck.
But,
delete. But, that's one thing I have to tell you really quick, man. It was funny because in Ring of Honor, the Young Bucks were on there and they were wrestling. I forget who it was they were wrestling. May have been the Motor City Machine Guns, because they're back together in Ring of Honor, which is awesome. But
nice.
No, it wasn't them. I can't remember who it was, but they were the one, I think Matt started going, delete, and then they do the suck it thing. So he was going, delete, and the crowd would go, suck it, delete, suck it. And it was funny as hell, dude. It was so funny. So it's, I'm telling you, man, if the WWE could land the Young Bucks, they're gonna have a huge fan following jump to the WWE network, because the Young Bucks, they sell anything they touch, man. Those guys are gold in that ring.
Yeah.
They put on a hell of a show.
Well,
hell of a show.
Two things. I wish McMahon would use his brain, because you know how there's all these indie wrestling companies that are huge, and he wants more subscribers on the network?
Right.
Wouldn't it be cool if he's like, hey, Ring of Honor, I'll air you on the WWE network. No strings attached. You run your own thing your own way. Just come to the network. We'll pay you. It's just like any other TV station. Hey, TNA, come to the network. You know, and then they would have all this stuff on one station. So they run their own thing their own way. But yeah, people would subscribe like crazy for that. But yeah, I think Omega and the Young Bucks are coming sooner than you think, because on the New Day's promo the other day, they're like, on Raw, they're joking around. They're like, yeah, the only elite team. Yeah, we're the only elite team. And then they're going back, and then the Young Bucks and Omega were wearing New Day shirts the other day on an interview they did. So it's like they're trying to call each other out without actually saying it. So I think they're coming.
Well, you know, if the Hardys end up beating them with this whole going around the world thing, it might be the opening that brings them to the WWE. I hope, man. I'm only hoping. And I hope they allow them to remain who they are. But I'm getting a 90-second thing, man. Damn it. But I really do. If they bring them, please. If they're listening to our ideas, if you bring the Young Bucks, do not change their gimmick. Let them remain the Young Bucks of who they are now. They will sell you guys some mad merchandise, I'm telling you. But, Terry, why don't you tell everybody where they can find out about you and your network and all your great shows?
Paranormally Radio Network 2.0 on Facebook, at Paranormally on Twitter, and the Paranormally Radio Network.wordpress.com for website. And, I'll touch base with you later and see what we're doing with this episode and cut it up and stuff like that. And just when you talk to Kev there, tell him we turned his paranormal show into a wrestling show. Give him a heart attack. Yeah.
Oh, I am. I'm going to call it Transcending the Unknown of Headlocks.
And then give him a little kick in the nuts, because this is twice now I've come to be on his show and he hasn't shown up. So.
Oh, you. I'll let that up to you, man. I'll let that up to you.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Terry, man. And we'll hit you up here in a couple weeks for the next one, for the next month's episode.
All right, later.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Go to LAEdgeWebRadio.com and check it out.